Welcome back, everyone. For this deep dive, we're going back to 19th century France, trying to trace the roots of Napoleon's influence on French democracy. And, you know,
absolutely.
To guide us through this, we have the thoughts of Alexis de Tocqueville, who's not just some historian writing about these events from afar.
No.
He actually lived through them and was right in the thick of it all.
He was there,
as a key political figure during this era.
Absolutely.
So it's really like we're getting a front row seat.
That's a great way to put it.
To history unfolding.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating is we're looking at some of his, Tocqueville's unfinished work.
Right.
And this was during the Second Empire.
Okay.
So imagine under Napoleon's nephew, Louis Napoleon, he's writing about this, trying to process all of this.
It's incredible insight that we have.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
So to kind of set the scene for us.
Okay.
Can you give us a little bit of background on Tocqueville? I mean, most people, if they know him at all, they probably know him from Democracy in America, right?
Absolutely. Democracy in America, his most famous work. This is true.
Right.
But
he was French.
But he's French. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And his writings on France, while maybe not as widely read, are incredibly insightful in understanding his political thought.
So what was he grappling with when he was analyzing France?
He was really troubled by this recurring cycle he saw in French history, this pattern of revolution, followed by a return to despotism. And it's this cycle that he felt he needed to understand. He was very troubled by it.
Why France couldn't break free from this.
Exactly.
And it's to try to understand this cycle that he takes on this huge project of trying to study Napoleon Bonaparte.
Right.
And we see this in letters that he's writing from Sorrento in 1850.
Okay.
It's like he felt this almost like a duty.
Absolutely, a sense of duty.
To really dig into this period.
He wanted to go beyond the surface.
Okay.
He wanted to go beyond just the facts and the figures of Napoleon III's reign.
Right.
He really wanted to capture almost like the essence of that era.
To really understand it.
How could a nation that fought so hard for liberty ultimately succumb to this authoritarian rule? It's a question that really haunted him.
Yeah, you can almost feel that weight in his writing.
Absolutely.
So how does he even begin to approach such a huge task?
Well, it's interesting you say that because the model he chooses is Montesquieu's Considerations on the Causes of the Greatness of the Romans and Their Decline.
Okay.
Which is really telling because just like Montesquieu analyzed the social and political forces that caused both the rise and fall of Rome.
Right.
Tocqueville's trying to do the same thing with France.
Okay.
What are those threads that are pulling them in these different directions?
So he's really looking at Napoleon and this empire as not an isolated thing.
Exactly.
But as part of this.
It's all connected.
Larger story.
Especially the French Revolution.
Right. And specifically the French Revolution.
He saw Napoleon and his rule as a chapter in this larger story of the French Revolution, what he called the unfinished French Revolution.
So he really felt like.
Yeah.
You can't understand one without understanding the other.
You can't disentangle them. You have to understand the revolution to understand Napoleon.
So he's not just trying to say, was Napoleon good or was Napoleon bad?
No, not at all.
He's trying to understand the how.
Exactly. He wants to understand the how and the why.
That's right.
And he recognized Napoleon's impact.
Right.
But he was critical of his methods, especially how he centralized power.
Right, because that's the opposite of what the revolution was trying to do.
Yeah, it's like this weird paradox.
Yeah.
So the question is, how did this happen?
Yeah, how did this happen?
After they just dismantled this whole system, how did they end up right back?
Back where they started.
Once it started, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And it seems like he's also saying that it wasn't just Napoleon who brought this about.
It's not just him.
That the seeds of this were planted.
Absolutely planted long before him.
Even in the old monarchy itself.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
He argued that the tools of control that Napoleon used weren't invented by Napoleon. But they were inherited from that old system.
From the ancient regime.
The ancient regime, exactly.
Okay.
So it's this reminder that even after these huge upheavals, the past can still be so powerful.
Still has this pull.
Yeah, this pull on the present.
It's almost like history was holding up a mirror to him when Louis Napoleon stages his own coup.
Oh, yeah.
In 1851.
Right.
Establishes the Second Empire.
Wow.
Tocqueville, I mean,
yeah.
You spend years studying something.
Right.
And then it happens right before your eyes.
It must have been such a shift for him.
It had to be.
Yeah.
And it's in those unfinished chapters
right.
that he writes in 1852
okay.
that we really see these ideas yeah. coming together.
He's trying to process it in real time.
Yeah. What did he see as some yeah. of the key factors mm-hmm. and how both Bonapartes were able to seize yeah. power
right.
decades apart?
He was struck by the power of fear.
Okay.
And particularly the fear of losing.
Losing what you have.
What you have, exactly.
Yeah.
Whether that's property or security or just comfort.
Right.
These anxieties that yeah. can make people act.
Yeah.
Maybe not in their best interest long term.
Out of desperation.
Out of desperation, exactly.
Right. Clinging to what you have, even if it means losing something.
Absolutely.
You're down the line.
He recognized that vulnerability,
yeah.
that people could be convinced to give up
right.
liberty.
Hard-won liberty.
For this promise of stability.
Yeah.
Even if that stability means authoritarian rule.
Right. Almost like it's too much.
Too much.
You're tired of fighting for it.
And he also realized
yeah.
that revolutions, especially long ones, can
yeah.
actually make lasting liberty harder.
Harder.
To achieve.
Because people just want it to be over.
They want it to be over. Exactly.
The chaos, the uncertainty.
It's exhausting. So yeah. the desire for order,
yeah.
it becomes more important
right.
than the desire for freedom.
Wow.
And this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Because he sees this shift.
Okay.
In French public opinion.
Okay.
From all this idealism and yeah. energy of the revolution.
Right.
To this
yeah.
apathy. Uh-huh. Almost a fear.
Like, what have we done?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What have we done?
Yeah.
And into that void
yeah.
steps someone like Napoleon.
Right.
Promising to fix everything.
I can fix it.
I can fix it.
I have answers.
I can restore order.
Yeah. I can give you security.
Right. And it's like that.
But it comes at a price.
Yeah, it does.
He even says that the French people, in their impulsiveness, were closer to savages
wow.
than any other nation.
What does he mean by that?
He's talking about
yeah.
this tendency to prioritize immediate needs
okay.
over long-term vision.
Short-sightedness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sacrificing future freedom
yeah.
for the comfort of order right now.
Mm.
And what's even more concerning
yeah.
is that he saw this
Observe.
Not just in the Bonapartes,
but in, the...
but in French society itself
wow.
woven into the fabric of the Ancien Régime.
So even though he didn't finish... this grand study
yeah.
of the two Bonapartes.
Right.
His work feels
yeah.
almost prophetic.
It's
like he's warning us.
Absolutely. He's saying, this is a human problem.
Yeah.
This is not just France.
Not just history.
Not just history.
Right.
These things can happen anywhere.
These forces are still out there.
Fear, instability.
Yeah.
The allure of simple solutions.
Right. Are we...
That's the question.
Susceptible to that.
Yeah. Are we making the same mistakes?
Treating liberty.
For the illusion of security.
Wow.
It's a question worth asking.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, what a deep dive this has been.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff.
Tocqueville's insights into French history.
Yeah.
They really make us think about.
Absolutely.
Our own societies.
Our own choices.
The choices we make.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Every day. Yeah.
So we hope this has given you a lot to think about. As we navigate these complex times.
It's always relevant.
It is. Until next time, keep exploring.
Absolutely.
Keep questioning.
Keep diving deep.
And we'll see you on the next deep dive.